Hey, it's Anna Sale, and I want to thank you for listening to Death, Sex, and Money, where I explore the big questions and hard choices that are often left out of polite conversation. You can hear new episodes ad-free every week on Amazon Music, where you can find Death, Sex, and Money and all of your Slate favorites without the ads. I want to thank you for listening and for all your support as we at Death, Sex, and Money have made our move to Slate. Your stories, voice memos, and emails have meant so much to the team. As part of this transition, there's a new way to support our show financially at Slate, our new home, and you'll get something special in return. Subscribe to Slate Plus, and you'll not only support our work on Death, Sex, and Money, you'll get access to new benefits, including listening to us and all of the other great shows Slate makes, like Slow Burn and Decoder Ring, without any ads or sponsor breaks. To subscribe, just click Try Free at the top of the Death, Sex, and Money show page on Apple Podcasts, or visit slate.com/DSM+ to get access wherever you listen. Thanks. Hey, it's Anna, and this week we're bringing you one of the earliest episodes of our show from 2014, and it's one of the most personal, too, because it's about me. It's been on my mind because my husband Arthur and I are celebrating our 5th wedding anniversary on Saturday. But this episode is about the time in our relationship when we didn't know if we were going to stay together. A lot was different back then. We didn't have kids. I still lived in New York City. And we weren't keeping 6 feet away from other people. It was a time in my life when I didn't know what was going to happen. And it was really scary. Listening back makes me appreciate just how much we've built together in our marriage and how much help we've gotten along the way. I hope you enjoy listening, too.
Ms. Anna Sales, this is Alan K. Simpson in the wilds of Wyoming, former U.S. Senator.
This is a message I got on my cell phone.
Need to talk to you about an urgent matter. Nothing life-threatening at all, I can assure you.
Al Simpson is famous for being the Simpson in Simpson Bowles, that group that made recommendations about American debt a few years back. I'm a reporter, and I was covering politics, but there was no reason for Al Simpson to be calling me on my personal cell phone.
Anyway, give me a buzz at your convenience.
I called him back.
And you have my cell.
And then I was walking up 6th Avenue in Manhattan, talking to former Senator Al Simpson about my ex-boyfriend, Arthur. In other words, Senator Alan Simpson had called to talk about my love life. This is Death, Sex, and Money, the show from WNYC about the things we think about a lot and need to talk about more. I'm Anna Sale. Al Simpson was a Republican senator from Wyoming for 18 years. We'd never met. He didn't know me. But he knew about me from a letter.
Dear Senator Simpson, we met once briefly a few years ago.
This is Arthur.
Here goes. The love of my life, Miss Anna Sale, lives in New York City. We've known each other for 2 years and 3 months. For most of that time, I was finishing my ecology PhD at the University of Wyoming.
Our breakup was one of those classic, I love you, but this isn't going to work breakups. Our version was, we're in our 30s, I'm a reporter in the city, you study wildlife in Wyoming. This doesn't have a future. We'd agreed. But then Arthur changed his mind. I didn't.
Things had just gotten too hard, and they had gotten too...
Heavy. That's when Arthur decided to enlist the help of an 82-year-old retired politician. He thought it would make me laugh.
I knew Al Simpson as a public figure, and, like, you know, the person I imagined was a person who... at least there was a decent chance, would think that this was funny enough or crazy enough that he would actually do it.
Arthur told Al Simpson all about why we'd split up.
This means that Anna and I have mostly dated long distance. I love Wyoming and have indulged its pull a little too much. I haven't been able to resist the mountains and people. And so a month ago, Anna stopped believing I would ever close the distance to be with her, and she cut me loose. I don't blame her. I was being a fool, and I took her for granted. But now I see, eyes wide open, my mistake. Senator Simpson,
I've poured my heart and soul into Wyoming for 6 years. I hope you will consider this as a favor for a man who's risked it all for that place.
Senator, would you give Anna a call on my behalf?
That's Ann Simpson, Al's wife of 60 years.
Okay, what did you, when you first read that, what
no,
did you
I just
think?
Thought it was the oddity of the ages. And I looked at it, put it away, and then Ann and I were in Denver, and I said, I got to do something with this thing. I think I'll just toss it. And Ann looked at it, and she said, worth a try.
This is just the sweetest letter. And I thought, that would be a shame not to call.
With esteem and humility, he ends.
He seemed very desperate.
They were calling to get me to come to Wyoming for a weekend. Arthur was getting a prize for wildlife research. There was a ball. He was a guest of honor, and Arthur knew Al Simpson would be there. I was supposed to be Arthur's plus one until I told him I wasn't going anymore. When we talked on the phone that day, Al told me he didn't know much about us, but he did know that all couples have hard times. He and his wife Anne certainly had. Anne was there, and I heard her say in the background, "What have you got to lose?" She got on the phone and added, "Don't let your pride get in the way." So, of course, I decided to go. Arthur and I met the Simpsons and talked to them about love and commitment. And then, because it was a ball, we all danced together in our gowns and tuxes to a wedding band playing Get Lucky by Daft Punk. Then the ball ended, and I had a plane to catch the next morning. And I didn't know what to tell Arthur about what would happen next. Because it wasn't just the distance that had made it hard for us. I was also really scared of committing to a relationship that wasn't going to work. I'm divorced. I'm in my 30s, and I want to be a mother. And I was so afraid of making the wrong choice again and losing time. Anne says that night at the ball, she could tell.
I saw them. There were some wounds there.
What'd you see?
Well, it was a little touchy. You were a little, you know, a little standoffish. And thought, well, either it'll work or it won't. But at least you were willing to give it a try.
Yeah.
If it cratered, I wouldn't lose a bit of sleep. Not a bit. Not really, I mean that, because you've done what you can do.
Arthur and I didn't crater. A few weeks after the ball, we got back together. And Al and Ann Simpson are still in our lives. It turns out that even though it was Arthur's desperate plea that got them involved, they ended up helping me. So I asked to come to Cody, Wyoming to talk to the Simpsons some more.
Come in. We're all ready to have lunch.
The three of us sat at their kitchen table in the same house where they raised their three kids. Al is 6.5 feet tall and rail thin. He peppers his sentences with cuss words while wearing a red monogrammed sweater.
Now, here's some bread. I just made this morning.
Ann Simpson is totally glamorous. Her white hair is swept up in an updo, and she reapplies lipstick before she'll let you take her picture. She wears these silver bangle bracelets that jangle as she talks. She's also tough. Al found that out early on when they were dating.
I got arrested one night, got in a fist fight. Got in a fight with a cop, slugged the cop, ended up in jail, called her. I said, I need $300 bail. She said, are you kidding? I'm working my way through school. I don't have $300 bail. Maybe I ought to just stay there. And I thought, Jesus, you know, it'd be good if I linked up with her. She could be a helpful ally in this continuing battle for maturity.
That battle? It's gone on and on.
The secret is you both try to control each other and you both fail. And it's critical that you both fail as you try to, and you do it in the most skilled and manipulative ways.
He learned that lesson on a dance floor years ago. Al and Ann were at an event.
And she was dancing with a guy who I knew was a horny old toad, you know, and I thought, you know, that, and she loves to dance. And so she's whirling around the floor and giggling and laughing. And so anyway, we got home, and I said, you know, I want to tell you something. I saw you snuggling up to that horny bastard there. And she said, look, I am not into this to play games, but I'm not going to be under a glass lid just because of your jealousy. And I love to dance, and I will do that. And I'm not going to jump in the sack with somebody, so I think you better get over it, which really pissed me off. So I gave her a lecture. It was a beautiful thing about life and fealty and love and loyalty and all the rest. I thought, she won't sleep a wink. 10 minutes later, I look in, she absolutely dead butt asleep.
Guilt-free.
Guilt-free. And me? I got boulders in my gut. I didn't sleep, but I did one important thing. I'd always loved Shakespeare, and I went in and read Othello. How he killed the most beautiful person in his life, Desdemona, choked her. I thought, Jesus, this is one sick son of a bitch. This is not me. This is totally destructive and has nothing to do with her.
Al Simpson has said Shakespeare leads you to the feeling world. And in the Simpsons world, those feelings sometimes unfold in public, like during the Clarence Thomas hearings in Washington. Coming up, Ann Simpson says her husband was a bully to Anita Hill.
I didn't like that. I hated to have the people see a side of him that I didn't feel was who he was.
Asking for your stories about how the pandemic is affecting your ability to pay for housing, particularly with the end of the federal eviction moratorium last month. And we've heard from a lot of you, including a listener named Tierra, who lives in Baltimore with 3 young daughters. She has a state job, and before the pandemic, she made enough to cover her bills between overtime pay and a side gig with Uber.
But COVID revealed the soft underbelly of my finances. This is the first time I've felt unstable. I am used to doing things on my own. It's also hard to ask for help from people that are in the same situation or worse than you are.
Tierra is still employed and grateful for that, but there's no overtime pay at her job anymore, and losing almost $1,000 a month from that supplemental income has put her housing in jeopardy.
I just received a letter from my leasing department stating I have a month to pay my balance, which is 2 months worth of rent. I don't know where it's coming from. And this is the first time I felt like, damn, I'm stuck.
Tierra is among the more than 40% of American renters at risk of eviction in the coming months. This is a story that isn't going away, and we want to keep hearing from you about it. If eviction is something you're worried about, or if you're moving now to lower your housing costs, send an email or voice memo to us at deathsexmoney@wnyc.org. This is Death, Sex, and Money. I'm Anna Sale. Al and Ann Simpson say they learned to confront things as a couple, like Al's jealousy, by learning how to talk about them. But they didn't do it alone.
You know, we had the good fortune of getting some outside help when we needed it through our church. We had been married probably 10 years at that time. Mm-hmm. And it was not a good time for us. 3 children, busy life, and just a feeling that I needed help. Our minister,
the guy that married us,
he came to see us, to call on us. And I said, what a great life I had, as I burst into tears. And he told us.
Al knew the minister was organizing counseling for couples at church, and he wanted no part of it.
And I saw the car drive up. I said, that dipshit is here. I'm not going to come out to hell with it. I'm not going to do it. Ann said, well, I've done a lot of junk for you, pal, so you can do one for me. And that was really a true statement. I mean, gone to rallies and pie rallies and, you know, fish fries and all the stuff that goes with this game. And so I went.
And I had things in my past that bothered me, and I was able to talk about that. I'd had an experience of being molested. It was just something that I was always aware of when I had sex. And once I was able to talk about it, it diminished.
She said, I've never told you anything. I guess we'd been married 20 years. Oh, I said, well.
Not that long.
15, yeah, whatever.
It was my secret.
No, anyway, I said, well, at least turn on the light. And she didn't. She told me this. I said, you think I care about that? That doesn't mean crap to me. Nothing. She said, you mean that? I said, yeah. What the hell does that have to do with us? Well, she said, I just never wanted to tell you. I said, well, you can sure scratch it off because it had nothing to do with my feelings toward you or anything. Well, I thought
it was a gift.
It must have made you feel so safe.
It did. I felt safe. That's exactly right. The hardest thing for all couples to talk about is sex. And it's hard to believe, but it is. And the big issues in all marriages that hang it up is your sexual relationship. Whoever is the most aggressive, the other one is in control. You know, we're older, so it isn't the issue now that it was when we were young, but it was a big issue. And it is in all marriages.
Well, then when you talk about it, you think, well, there's a couple of horny people and want to. No, that's not the point. It's called intimacy. Scratch my back. Give me a hug. Just a hug. I said, okay. You know, I've had a lot. But just a touch, you know, a whack on the fanny in the kitchen, you know, or whatever. I don't know. I'm not telling you those things make me look like a fine, wonderful. I can be a real horse's ass. I'm stubborn. I'm a bully. I can get into a relationship. Ann won't let me pull it off, but, you know, I can.
It has made me stronger, being married to a bully.
Were there ever moments in your husband's public life where you saw that bullying side come out and felt like you wanted to talk to him about it?
Tell him about that.
Yes, that's when he was in the Clarence
kind
Thomas
of
thing.
Pissed me off.
And I said to all the men on that one, I said, you all came across like a bunch of bullies.
Let me give you some background. This was in 1991. Clarence Thomas was a nominee for the Supreme Court, and an attorney named Anita Hill had told the Senate Judiciary Committee that Thomas had sexually harassed her when he was her boss. Al Simpson was a Republican on that committee, and he had some questions about Anita Hill's story and her motives.
If what you say this man said to you occurred, why in God's name would you ever speak to a man like that the rest of your life?
That's a very good question.
While the hearings were happening in D.C., Anne was back in Wyoming, caring for her mother, who was very ill.
And I was not following it moment by moment. When I finally did, I just couldn't believe the way Al was operating. And I did tell him, you know, you all sound terrible. You sound like a bunch of male chauvinist pigs.
She said, I don't know what you're doing today, but for God's sake, you look really nasty.
You look like a beast.
But don't forget, I'd had a wife who'd had much more harassment than Anita Hill, and that's where I lost my marbles. I thought, what is this? I mean, for God's sake, what did he do? Well, nothing. Did he touch you? No. What is it? Well, we watched porn movies together, and he wanted to talk about long dong silver and pubic hair and Coke cans. Is that it? Yes, it is. I wanted you to be aware of his behavior. Mm-hmm. And so I was a monster. I just was pissed to the core.
Al Simpson got called out, and not just by his wife. Editorials across the country blasted him for attacking Anita Hill with rumor and innuendo, for saying things like this during the hearing.
I've got letters hanging out my pocket. I've got faxes. I've got statements from her former law professors, statements from people that know her, statements from Tulsa, Oklahoma, saying, watch out for this woman. But nobody's got the guts to say that because it gets all tangled up in this sexual harassment crap.
You know, he just kept getting more and more worked up. And then one time he was at home and I said, you know, you have a wonderful reputation the way you've always operated. And it seems to me that you are caught in something and you just need to shut up.
Shut up.
He said, you've never said that to me before. Said, well, I am now. You know, there's a time to just recognize when you're out of control. And sometimes you have to identify that in the other person.
This is still a tender spot for Al Simpson. Some things he's contrite about, other things he won't let go. And Anne is still disappointed. It's not resolved. It's just past, stitched into their long relationship together. But I know that doesn't always happen in a marriage. When I was married and tried to push through feelings of distance and pull us back together, it didn't work. Was there a moment for either of you where you thought, maybe there's not a way back towards each other?
Well, I think it isn't that. It's just that you think maybe somebody else could replace you.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there were times that you think that divorce maybe is the answer to start someplace else, but you don't get rid of it. And everyone I've ever seen that divorced, that went into another marriage, had learned that it was the same thing and they better make it work.
So this might be too personal, but no. has talking about and kind of reaffirming fidelity and monogamy been part of your marriage as you've sort of worked through different phases?
I don't know that we dealt with that so much because we both went into it believing in monogamy. You know, we're from the era and our parents...
Mm-hmm.
You know, divorce had never been a part of any of our lives. And it's a different world now. But, you know, I think about it. I have a big problem with washing my hair. My hair will be just right. You can relate to this. And I think maybe I should wash my hair. Well, maybe I'd wait another day. And then, you know, so I'm in there washing my hair, still trying to decide whether to wash my hair. And that's how I was in the beginning about marriage. I'm married. I'm trying to decide if I want to be married. Well, I am married. And that's what most people are doing. They're in it, and they haven't committed. And it's easy to do.
Oh, yeah. That's really easy to do. I don't think you all know this, but before Arthur and I got together, I was married and divorced.
No, I didn't know that. Mm-mm. How long were you married?
I was married 3.5 years with my boyfriend throughout my 20s. And then we divorced. We divorced, and I met Arthur just a few months after. So Arthur was going to be my cowboy fling.
And here you are.
And here I am.
I think the real key is you decide to make it work. There are lots of different ways. We had ways. Other people have different ways.
It's called sorting crap. But you have to take risks. That's what he did. He took a big risk.
Arthur did take a risk. Confessing his heartache to a retired U.S. senator, it's what got us back together. Not because I got a phone call from a famous person. That was fun. But because it showed me the kind of man Arthur is, I didn't want to lose him. Now Arthur's mostly in New York and travels for fieldwork when he needs to. We're back in the flow of an everyday relationship, where it's not always about grand gestures, but often about the opposite, knowing when not to say things. That's the last thing Al Simpson wanted me to know, how good he'd gotten at that. When I was at their house in Cody, it smelled like smoke because Anne had left a pot on the stove before they'd gone out the night before. And Al said when he opened the door and saw all the smoke, he didn't say a thing.
I just started opening the windows.
Because I already said, oh, for God's sakes, I forgot to turn that down. There are times that there's no need to say anything.
No need to say a word. Did cough a little, but then I'm ahead. She might say something the next time, whereas I didn't this time. And she might say, well, for God's sake, Al, I'll say, wait a minute, the night that pot of crap nearly blew up our house, I didn't say anything. Remember? I'm back. I won.
See, there's no progress, really.
I hope it comes up soon.
No progress at all. It's just that we both don't care about
it. We don't give a shit.
That's Al and Anne Simpson. They've now been married for 66 years, and they still live in Cody, Wyoming. Death, Sex, and Money is a listener-supported production of WNYC Studios. The team includes Katie Bishop, Annabelle Bacon, Affie Yellowduke, Emily Boteen, and Andrew Dunn. Special thanks to James Ramsey, Chris Bannon, Jim Briggs, and Jonathan Manhevar, who produced this episode with us when he was at This American Life. Our theme music is by the Reverend John Delore and Steve Lewis. Other music in this episode is from Bill Frizzell. And if you're new to the show, welcome. We're glad you're here. Sign up for our weekly show newsletter at deathsexmoney.org/newsletter. We'll send you behind-the-scenes updates, stories from our listeners, and other audio recommendations. Again, that's at deathsexmoney.org/newsletter. I'm Anna Sale, and this is Death, Sex, and Money from WNYC.
Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title The Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of 4 episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.